How do you forgive what you can't forget as an adult child of divorce? I know that you've had that thought in your mind, as I have had. How do you forgive your parents for this event that literally splits your life into a before and after? Well, that is the question that Lisa Turkhurst is exploring in her brand new book, and we're going to take a look at that today. So I'm so glad that you've joined me for another episode of Heart in a Drawer, where we talk about the hurt and healing and hope that we can have as adult children of divorce. This is the first episode where we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. And I think this is a subject we're going to have to talk about over and over, because forgiveness is a process. It's not just a one-time thing. So today is actually the book release day for Lisa Turkhurst's book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And I got to look at this book a little bit early. I ordered it from christianbook.com and it came about a week early, which is a super treat. I'm waiting on the companion journal that goes along with this book, and I will put ordering links in the show notes for you. And today is going to be a little different from normal, because I just want to read to you some passages from this book and then give some commentary on it to tailor it to us adult children of divorce. So I have been privileged to actually meet Lisa in person. I am a member of the devotional writing team for Proverbs 31 Ministries. So when I attended She Speaks 2018, that was a big conference that Proverbs 31 Ministries puts on for Christian women writers and speakers. There was a breakfast that was open to members of the devotional team and the volunteer proofreading team. I'm on that as well. So I got to meet her in person, and I was pretty starstruck. I didn't even think to get a picture, which I regret so much, but I'm hoping that I can get a picture with her when She Speaks starts meeting back in person again someday. But she is such a wonderful writer. What I love about Lisa is that she's very relatable. She's very down to earth. She is not afraid to be a hot mess in her videos or in her books. And I think that is what makes her so endearing to her tribe of followers. And I'm one of them. So Lisa had a really painful divorce from her husband. And she wrote about that in the book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. I will also link my review of that in the comments, which is another excellent book I highly recommend. And then this book is talking about forgiving him and actually reconciling with him. So she has an amazing story to share and just so much wisdom. And I have gotten to about page 44 in this book. I just wanted to read some of the snippets that I felt resonated with me today that I think will resonate with you as well. And they kind of actually touch on some previous podcasts that I have recorded too. And you can go back and listen to those if you're new to this tribe of Heart in the Drawer. So I'm going to start just from a little paragraph in the introduction and read this to you. She says, a few years ago when my marriage imploded, I didn't think I had a say-so in keeping memories that were precious to me. I thought my marriage was over, therefore my life had to be edited, both going forward and backward. I went through the entire house and removed all pictures of us. I packed up some of my favorite family mementos. I tried to untangle my life from anything that reminded me of what once was because, well, I didn't know what else to do. But completely sterilizing my life from the physical presence of reminders didn't remove the pain. You can't edit reality to try and force healing. You can't fake yourself into being okay with what happened, but you can decide that the one who hurt you doesn't get to decide what you do with your memories. Your life can be a graceful combination of beautiful and painful. You don't have to put either definitive label on what once was. It can be both and. I think that ties into one of my first episodes when I talk about what we do with the pictures of our parents' marriage. And it just resonated with me that she's saying she thought that she had to get rid of all those pictures, but then she decided that they could still be part of her life because she kind of goes on to describe, you know, she wasn't faking it in those pictures, like a family vacation picture. She was enjoying herself, even though she didn't realize her husband was cheating on her at the time. You know, she's not going to let the devil steal her joy away from that previous memory. She's going to hold on to it. Now, I think she had to go through a long grieving process, which she describes in this book. But I actually thought that was really wise in my own journey as a child of divorce, that I don't have to separate those memories out and sterilize them. I can just appreciate them for what they are. So I'm just moving forward a little bit. I'm reading from page 9 in the book, and she says, "Those who cooperate most fully with forgiveness are those who dance most freely in the beauty of redemption." What a powerful quote. She says, and what exactly is this beautiful redemption? It is you accepting the exchange God is offering. Now she says, what you give up is the right to demand that the one who hurt you pay you back or be made to suffer for what they've done. God will handle this. And even if you never see how God handles it, you know He will. And what you get is the freedom to move on. Now, that's the point of this entire podcast. And every episode I record, I want to show you that the freedom is possible from the hurt that you're experiencing. And I hope that we're going to explore that even more in further episodes that we're going to talk about forgiveness. I just thought that was a really power-packed little portion that I wanted to share with you. And then she's talking about how it's forgiveness you can't just jump right into, because it's a huge, complex process. And so she says, when your heart has been shattered and reshaped into something that doesn't quite feel normal inside your own chest yet, forgiveness feels a bit unrealistic. At first, we say it's too soon. And then years go by and we say it's too late. Isn't that the truth? I think that if we can work on forgiveness a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, a holiday at a time — holidays are really important. We're going to be talking about dealing with the holidays as a child of divorce in upcoming episodes. If we can deal with that one step at a time, then we won't have that regret of saying it's too late in the years to come. And so I want to help you work through that a little bit at a time. All right. She talks about an incident where her hurt feelings boiled out onto an unsuspecting person, actually someone like a FedEx delivery person, and saw her throwing a fit. And, you know, I laughed at that, but I was kind of relating to it in myself of times where I have let my anger and frustration out on unsuspecting people, had no idea what was bottled up inside of me. So after she describes that kind of humorous scene, painfully bittersweet humorous, she tells us this. She says, when you've been deeply wounded by another person, it's only natural to be shocked by their utter lack of humanity. It's understandable to wish your life would have never, ever intersected with theirs. To assume the hell you are now forced to live with is absolutely directly connected to a choice they made that can never be unmade. I mean, that is the story of every child of divorce, without a doubt. To feel haunted by a shadow version of the offender who caused this, and to almost feel like they are following you around while you replay their cruel act in your mind over and over and over, to feel forever changed in ways that you don't want to be. Had they never made the choices they made, then surely you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here like this, flailing, screaming, scaring the delivery girl and wondering, is this even survivable? You know, I think one thing that we've got to do as children of divorce is have our feelings affirmed and just realize just how hard it is. And I try to do that in every episode to let you know that you're not alone in your anger and your rage and disappointment and these very, very deep longings and kind of primal urges you have in terms of revenge and, you know, wishing things weren't like this. So I understand how difficult that is. And I think we have to let those feelings out, because if we keep them inside, they turn into bitterness and resentment. And we've got to let them out in a safe space. For me, that was in my journals. It was also in the counselor's office. And more often than any other outlet, it was through prayer. Because God can handle all of that junk, and He doesn't judge us for it. So she says just a little bit later, I'm not asking you to sign up for forgiveness. Not yet. I couldn't start there, so I won't ask you to either. All I'm asking is that you'd be willing to consider taking power away from the person who hurt you. Wow. Wouldn't we all like to do that? I've told you I listened to Dr. Henry Cloud's daily show, and one of his recent ones, he was talking about when you don't need something from somebody anymore, from a toxic person who can't even give you what you want anyway, then they can't infect you with their bacteria of toxicity because you're not asking anything from them. And I think that's really, really important to think about as a child of divorce of a parent who's still toxic. And I think I had to go through my own journey of saying, you know, as much as I wish they would become the person I need them to be, I'm making myself sick by hoping and praying for something that's not going to happen, at least not right now. They're showing no indication of wanting to get on that healthier path. And so I've got to let that go, because it's holding this power over me that isn't healthy. It's making me sick. And I remember doing that one Christmas, just praying, crying out to God, help me let this go. And tears just streaming down my face. And it was so, so painful at the moment. But when I look back on that Christmas, I can see a huge amount of growth in me after I painfully let that go. And once I laid that down, then I could move forward in a different direction. And right around that time, it was really hard, but it got easier as the years progressed to say, you know what, I let that go for me. I let it go for my mental and emotional and spiritual and even physical health. I was having immune system breakdowns because of the stress that I was experiencing every Christmas because of this relationship that just wouldn't go in the direction that I wanted it to go. And not only that, the people were turning on me in their toxicity. So it was good for me to say, you know what, by working on forgiving them, I'm releasing that toxic power that they have had over me. And now I can say, you know, years later, that that was a really wise thing to do for myself. It was a gift I gave myself to start working on forgiving them. And now they just don't have that power over me anymore. So I hope that we can start unpacking that in some episodes coming up on handling the holidays. So she says, when we don't move forward, when we get stuck in our hurt, unable to escape the grip of that threatening pain, trauma takes root. When we keep reliving what has happened in our mind over and over, we keep experiencing the trauma as if it's happening in the present time. You know, in a previous episode, I talked about a definition of trauma. And I agree with this definition here. We keep experiencing the trauma as if it's happening in the present time. And so to break that traumatic cycle, we have to live in the present and deal with the very real feelings of pain in a healthy and positive way rather than numbing ourselves with denial or any number of substances that we've talked about or behaviors that we go to when we're in pain, but actually live through that, walk through that pain with Jesus at our side and get to the healing place that he has for us. If we will walk through that valley of the shadow of death that we learn about in Psalm 23, if we'll walk through that with God, then we can overcome that traumatic pattern. And also, again, going back to the importance of counseling, you know, when I walked through my traumatic moments with my counselor, that is really when I received healing for the first time, honestly. I don't know that when you're talking about traumatic memories, I don't know that we have the capabilities on our own, just me and God, you know. Of course, God can do anything he wants, but I think he designed us to heal from trauma through the positive connections with other human beings, particularly other human beings trained to help us overcome trauma. And that is what my counselor did for me. Lisa, just about every page in here, she's talking about how counseling was not only good for her, it was essential for her to get over these awful experiences that were so hard to forgive. And so if you need to get over, if you really are just stuck trying to forgive what you can't forget, I think that a Christian counselor could help you probably more than anyone else. That's what my counselor did for me. That's what he's still doing for me. I started seeing him again actually this fall after about a several years break, but I did go see him twice a month for 5 years. And that's what helped me overcome a lot of my bitterness and resentment and feeling stuck in my feelings from the past. Going to see my counselor was a big, big portion of my healing. So this is where I've kind of stopped my reading, page 44, 45. And this is not a book that you just sit down and read in one sitting. This is a book you have to mull on because it's really powerful and it cuts deep. But that's how the healing happens. And so when I read these truths in these pages I'm about to read to you, I heard the Holy Spirit say, stop. Stop and ponder what she's telling you and hold that in your heart. So she's talking about an intensive that she went to with her counselor, and he told her to write down on a 3x5 card each act that she needed to forgive her husband for. So she had to write like a single episode or behavior or something on a card. So she had this, you know, it took her a while, and then she had a stack of 3x5 cards. And then that was how she was starting to get unstuck, because she was letting go of those feelings that she had bottled up inside. And so once she did that whole process, then her counselor gave her some red felt squares that were a little bit bigger than the cards. And she laid them out around the room. It was this like trail of her hurts, really. And then he had her go place a red felt square on top of each of those cards. So then it was this red trail to symbolize Jesus' blood from dying on the cross to forgive her sins, to forgive her husband's sins, to forgive all the sins of everyone involved, and to cover those sins with his blood. And the Bible tells us that, you know, his blood cleanses us from our sins. And so then she talks about, I think that's really powerful. She says, "Card after card, I had a marked moment of forgiveness, emptying my heart of all the heavy facts of what happened. It's not that all these were erased from my memory. We'll get to that coming up. But doing this one fact at a time freed me from carrying around all those unspoken facts, which had become tangled up into one huge mess that felt way too big to forgive." I just thought that was so powerful. And then this is the last thing I'm going to say, because she repeats it twice because she feels like it's so important for us to grasp. So I'm going to share it with you. She says, "I only needed to bring my willingness to forgive, not the fullness of all my restored feelings." So I'll just repeat that because she did, and I think it's great. I needed it for myself. I only needed to bring my willingness to forgive, not the fullness of all my restored feelings. Really powerful. And then she says, "For whatever my feelings didn't allow, the work of Jesus on the cross could cover. It might take years for my feelings to be sorted out and healed, but the decision of forgiveness didn't have to wait on all that." That's when the Holy Spirit said, "Stop," to me. He was saying, "You know what, Sarah? All I want you to do is take the first step, and I'm going to help you. I know that you are an emotional person. I'm an emotional God. I'm not asking you not to feel. What I'm asking you to do is look at those hurts with the blood of Jesus covering them, the blood that redeems you and the blood that redeems them if they so choose to accept it. That's where I am right now. That's where I stopped. That's where we're going to stop this podcast, because there's a lot to digest in here. And she says in here, forgiveness is both, that's in bold, a decision and a process. And so we are just taking this first step today, opening this conversation about forgiveness. We're going to be covering it in future episodes, other books that have helped me forgive. I want to bring those into this discussion and talk about specific things that we need to forgive as adult children of divorce. I just wanted to introduce you to this wonderful resource from Lisa Turkhurst. I hope you will visit the show notes so that you can check out the ordering information that I share in there. I'll also have a worksheet for you on some of the scriptures and some of the ideas that we've discussed today. Now, I wanted to ask you a couple of things real quick as we wrap up. If you are watching this on YouTube, it would be great if you could like this video, comment on it, share it with someone, because that helps reach other adult children of divorce with you just taking an extra second. If you are listening to this podcast, I would love it if you would go leave a review, because again, that accomplishes the same purpose. And if you are really gaining value from this podcast, and I'm just so grateful for those of you who have told me that it's helping you, that just encourages me to keep doing this work for you. I have a new plan to reward people who are willing to help offset the costs of running my ministry. I spend about, I refigured it, it's about $200 a month putting out all of my content. And if you are willing to help offset that cost just a little bit, a donation of any amount, I am going to offer an exclusive teaching and a printable every month to anyone who has donated that month. So I'm going to put information in the show notes about how you can do that, how you can give back, so I can continue to do this for you. And I really appreciate that. And as I say in every episode, it is my honor and privilege to pray for you. So I'm going to leave my contact information in the notes so that if you want to have me pray for you, then you have a one-to-one conversation with me, and I will keep that confidential. So thank you so much for watching today. I encourage you to check out Lisa's book, and it might be a really good read for you heading into the holiday season. So I pray God's blessings and His peace on you today, and thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time when we're going to look at a book that's called Relational Reset, and I'm going to give you some really interesting and practical takeaways from that book. Next time, I'll see you then, and thanks. Bye-bye.